Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome back, Sports Map Radio, Boss and the Gloss. And we've got Josh Beard in studio with us. Welcome in, Josh.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is a blast.
Now, you host a show middays on KFNC in Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir, I do. It is Josh and the Who on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 here in Houston.
Josh. I listen to you, Josh.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been
It's
been a wild ride. The show has been on for about a month now, and I've had a rotating list
today.
Lamnack was on today. Barry and I have known each other for a while, and he's always a blast to host with. So it's been a fun ride so far. Yeah, enjoy it.
Yeah, listening to the two of you, I heard it today. There's a lot of quick wit going back and forth. I mean, sometimes it's hard to get in a word with Barry, but you did well.
It's because Barry is a comedian, so he thinks he's funny. then I actually have to like step up and show him what real humor is.
That's right. Yeah. Keep him in his place.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We are sitting in Houston, Texas, which is suddenly the center of the universe for football, or at least for rookie quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud looked really good yesterday.
We have reason to smile today. First time in like how many years?
Yeah, it feels like forever.
It's been like four, and it feels like 25.
Yes.
So I'm a Texans and a Cowboys fan, so it feels as long since the Texans have had good football since the Cowboys have, and it's been a really long time for that. Although I might be a little bitter after yesterday with the Cowboys Cardinals. So
yeah. Well, so what did you see in C.J. Stroud?
Oh man, I just didn't know what to expect. I was somebody who we were looking at these rookie quarterbacks, and I was somebody who was in the Bryce Young corner for a really long time. And then whenever I took the chance to dive into the film work, I just loved the way C.J. Stroud played the game at Ohio State. He was poised.
Me too.
He was quick to process, but he wasn't too quick to make a throw. And he always seemed to make the right throw in the right spot. He had some rough games here and there, but by and large, he was just a more consistent player than Bryce Young was. And so yesterday, I really feel like the way his game has translated from Ohio State to now with the Texans in Bobby Slowick's offense, we saw that translation of that confidence, that patience, and the ability to process the game really, really quickly at a high level. He had multiple throws in the game yesterday against the Jaguars where you just don't see rookies in their third game of their career make those throws. Where there's one play in the second quarter specifically that I think tells you everything you need to know about C.J. Stroud as a quarterback.
Was this when he looked left and then he looked right?
He did, yeah.
It looked like he had 10 minutes back there.
He did.
He didn't. It was like a couple seconds.
Yeah, I think it was about 3 seconds long. And the pocket was – he had a nice pocket to start, but then it started collapsing from the middle. The center is just getting pushed back.
Sure.
And he went through his read progression so well. And he just looks to – his couple of reads to the left, immediately looks to the right, gets rid of the ball to Robert Woods for about an 18-yard gain. And I think that play in and of itself just shows you what he is right now as a quarterback and what he can be moving forward, because he just processes this game at a high level. We've heard nothing but great things about him as a student of the game, how much film work he does, how much work he puts together behind the scenes. And everything we've heard about some of the greatest quarterbacks ever is, I think, Philip Rivers on his commute to and from games and to and from practice. He had a car where he had a film room essentially in his car where there was a TV where he could watch film on his way to the stadium. Everything we've heard about.
He also has 8 kids, so he's got to do it in the car.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, it's anywhere you can get away from any of the kids that you have to have some quiet time. But the best quarterbacks who have ever done it do the work. They do the film work, and they just study film probably more than they do anything else. And you can see that in C.J. Stroud, where he was more prepared for the Jaguars' defense and what they were going to do to him than I've seen from really any quarterback, any rookie quarterback in quite a while.
He handled the blitz, which Jacksonville brought 11, 12 times yesterday, mm-hmm. beautifully. And he hasn't typically done that in the first 2 weeks, but yeah. yesterday he had their number. And what I really noticed too, Josh, was I thought, okay, it's probably overreaction Sunday, but I literally sat down to watch the whole game because I thought, I'm actually interested. The Texans are interesting to me. And I remember one of the players, I can't remember which one it was, in week one just said, CJ's so serious. Like he doesn't celebrate the good things he's done. He thinks about, okay, I could have done better that. And, you know, he's always, just like you were referring to, always, you know, doing his study, you know, trying to get better. But I noticed yesterday, I thought, he has got such command mm-hmm. of this offense. And I credit D'Amico Ryans, too, and Slowick for rearranging the personnel on that line yesterday. Whatever they did was so much better.
Yeah.
You know, it's riddled with injuries. But it also seems to me there is a culture shift right now on the Texans. And I think it's here to stay with D'Amico in the building. Do you feel the same thing, or am I way overreacting about what's going on?
No, I definitely feel that way. I've been made fun of a little bit already because I'm a huge D'Amico Ryans fan. I grew up in Dallas. I grew up watching the Cowboys, but my wife is from Houston. And when I was stationed in Omaha, that was the first time we got NFL Sunday ticket because we wanted to be able to watch the Cowboys and the Texans. From the very first time I turned on a Texans game, I think we turned it on, and I almost immediately saw D'Amico Ryans, the way he played linebacker, the way he tackled guys. I was like, I love him. And I fell in love with the team because of him and because of Andre Johnson. And he always brought this leadership quality to the team as a player that you can see now translating over as a coach, where these players trust him. They believe in him. They're buying what he is selling.
Yes.
And he's not, you know, a lot of coaches come in and they try to create the culture that maybe is a little bit disingenuous, but it really does seem like D'Amico Ryans is trying to build a genuine culture that the players can respect and follow, where they just get him because he's an ex-player, because he's had success. And it really feels like what the Pittsburgh Steelers have done with Mike Tomlin. To me, it just feels like the beginning of that kind of era in Houston, where they really do feel like, it feels to me like they've hired their version of Mike Tomlin, and D'Amico could be here for the long haul, which is really important.
And adding C.J. Stroud to mm-hmm. that head coach, I mean, I have to quote what tight end Brevin Jordan said yesterday about C.J. Stroud. We drafted the right guy. He is a leader. He's a phenomenal guy with God-given talent. Dude, he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That. What more can you say? And the kid's 21. I mean, he's so young.
It's so interesting because
wow.
he came into the draft with better physical tools, say, than Bryce Young, who was obviously very small. But there was this test that he did not do well on. It was not the Wonderlic yeah. test, the old test, but there's a different test. Talks about his on-field processing. I can't think of the name
of that. It's the S2 cognition test, yeah.
Yes, and so he did not do well on that test, and everybody thought, oh, my goodness, are there real questions? Can he really play? But that test is supposed to discern your ability to process things real-time on the field. So he's supposed to be weak at that, yet he's doing that at a very high level.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times this test is fairly new, and they're still trying to figure out how it works into the equation. And I know that it was only a portion of the test that it came out. Originally, it was reported that he scored very low on the test as a whole, but it was just one portion of the test that he scored really low on. So people just kind of took that and carried with it. But there are always outliers whenever we
yep.
see if you had seen some of my test scores whenever I was younger, I probably wouldn't be here. But a lot right. of it had to do with like other underlying circumstances. So you can see that the scores on the S2 cognition test just don't really adequately display the entire person, because C.J. Stroud, the entire person, I have no doubt in my mind that he may have taken that test and immediately was like, no, I'm going to get better at this. And he just kept getting better at the processing and the cognition and being able to work through some of these different things quickly. And a test is never really going to be able to fully simulate a game situation and having the pads on
right.
and being on the field. And we see right now that C.J. Stroud, every Houston Texans fan and everybody in the city of Houston should be very excited, because this is the beginning of something for Houston that they haven't seen in a really long time, and possibly maybe not ever. If the trajectory of where C.J. Stroud has started continues, if that arrow keeps pointing up and continues to go that way, this is something the city hasn't seen with the Texans in a very, very long time.
Maybe never, really.
Maybe never, right. 121 completions in his first three games without an interception.
Record-setting.
He is also the second in the first three games of his career, second in yardage, only behind Cam Newton in that in his first three games. So
with 990-something,
yes,
right?
Yes, and Cam Newton only has a little bit over 1,000. So we're talking about a kid who's putting his name in record books next to the names like Warren Moon and some of the greatest quarterbacks that have ever done it. And that's what's so exciting, and it's only three games. I am prone to overreaction and being a victim of the moment.
Aren't we all?
I hope we are as sports fans. That's why we love sports so much. But everybody should be excited watching this kid. And then that combination of D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick, who I think called an incredible game plan yesterday, the combination of those three together, and then don't forget about Will Anderson on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a beast.
I love that guy. He is so great. That block punt yesterday he was like rising phoenix coming out. That was so nice.
I just saw a statistic of the top three players in the NFL in pass rush win rate. Micah Parsons is number one.
Of course.
Will Anderson is number three. He's number three. He's only two spots behind Micah Parsons, who could have won the defensive player of the year in his rookie year. Is probably the best defensive player in the league. He looked incredible in a couple of spots last night against the Cardinals. But this team, together with some of this young talent that they have, that's headlined by C.J. Stroud, this is a team that people are going to need to watch over the next couple of years to see how they develop. And if they start to put themselves in the playoff contention race and they start to put their names out there in playoff contention, I think they could scare a lot of teams, and not maybe as soon as next year.
And this is against a Jacksonville team that is a very good and much improved Jacksonville team with Doug Peterson. Mm-hmm. And I saw yesterday that the Texans had 12 players on IR and 8 starters out. It was the most in the NFL. So they were playing a very well-coached, experienced team, Trevor Lawrence's third year in the league, and they were the most depleted team, and they routed him.
Yeah.
It was really something.
Especially where the injuries are for the Texans. It's on the defensive line – on the offensive line and in the secondary. And you think, what's the bread and butter of how Jacksonville has won games last year and how they look to win games this year? It's in their passing game, and it's in their ability to get to the quarterback. And that's where I credit Bobby Slowick calling an incredible game plan. He just did not – He did not call plays that allowed C.J. Stroud to get attacked very easily, and they were all plays that were set up for C.J. Stroud to be able to get rid of the ball quickly. And then on the defensive side, D'Amico Ryans, where he got a little outcoached in week two, definitely did not let that happen in week three. So it was fun to watch.
He is Josh Beard. He is a host on KFNC Houston. We'd love to have you come back for another segment right now if you can.
Absolutely.
Stick around.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little Cowboys and figure out what went wrong against the Cardinals yesterday.
And maybe a little Coach Prime, too.
That up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios. Here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, David and Carla, here in studio. We're joined by Josh Beard. He's a show host on KFNC Houston and Afternoon Drive. You can hear him afternoon middays, KFNC Houston. Josh, welcome in. So great to have you here. And want to jump to the Cowboys. We talked a little Texans earlier. Cowboys with a loss against the Cardinals yesterday. You know what? I was saying to Carla that it didn't surprise me. I came in thinking the Cowboys offense might struggle given that they had 3 out of their 5 offensive linemen not there.
Yeah.
But it's that the defense looked so porous against that Cardinals offense. What did you see? What made the dam break there?
We talked about this a little bit last week on the show with a couple of different co-hosts that I had on with me. And I told them I would not be surprised if they struggled against the Cardinals. The defense has incredible pieces. And with Trayvon Diggs, the defense did look incredible. But they did it against the Giants, who have been way below what we thought they would be this year. They signed Daniel Jones to that huge contract. You have Brian Daboll coming back for another year. Saquon Barkley coming back. We thought, okay, let's see what the Giants could do. They haven't looked good. And then week two, they do it against the Jets without Aaron Rodgers. So that week two test was going to be a big one.
But there was Zach Wilson on that side.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Zach Wilson, we just kind of talked about it. I saw a chart that showed the efficiency ratings of quarterbacks drafted 2016 to this year who have played and started as quarterbacks. The worst by far was Josh Rosen. Only slightly above him was Zach Wilson. And that's the kind of quarterback that the Cowboys defense was playing against. Now, the Cardinals, somebody forgot to tell the Cardinals that they were supposed to be a bad team this year because they keep testing teams. They should have won against the Giants, but the Giants ended up coming back. Now, yesterday afternoon against the Cowboys, Joshua Dobbs and James Conner just looked incredible. And I think a lot of people looked at Jonathan Gannon as this head coach that was coming in. He's a little corny. He's not quite like all the other head coaches out there. They didn't trust him. Maybe his defense was just that kind of a flash in the pan. Is it going to work with the Cardinals? They're playing really good defense right now. And the offense, I mean, they're literally headlined. James Conner will never make sense to me. He's not super fast. He's not super flashy. He doesn't just make people miss. He just finds a way. I think it's his head. He uses his brain and he finds the seams and he finds the openings and he just maneuvers those really well. And he finds a way to run well on teams. The loss of Trayvon Diggs is a big one for the Cowboys, but it shouldn't have been so big that they struggled to stop the run yesterday, and James Conner ran all over them. Joshua Dobbs looked really, really great in spots, and it really did come down to the perfect storm of the Cowboys have kind of been able to breeze through a couple of easy teams in the first 2 weeks. They weren't really tested, and so the first time they kind of get punched in the mouth, they didn't really know how to react defensively. And offensively, they just struggle in the red zone. Yeah. That's the biggest thing they need to figure out on offense. It's almost like Dak Prescott is very good when he has a lot of open space to work with. But as soon as you close it down to that 25, 30 yards and he runs out of space, he just does not know how to read those gaps. And he doesn't know how to read the coverage as well as he does in an open field.
And how much did the 15 penalties on Dallas?
That hurt.
Ridiculous.
That hurt a little bit.
Can't win that way.
Insane. Seriously, and this is an experienced team.
Yeah.
I mean, you did point out there's a lot of injuries, so they're slotting in different people. But still, come on, 15?
Yeah, that's to me, that's always one of the problems with Mike McCarthy coach teams. They typically tend to struggle with penalties. And you've seen it with the Cowboys the last couple of years where the offensive line struggles with false starts. They struggle with holding. The secondary struggles with pass interference calls. And so they typically are on the higher end of having penalties called against them. And that's just something that you have to deal with the way this Cowboys team is constructed. I honestly went into yesterday never thinking that I thought maybe the Cardinals would put a test to them, but a Dan Quinn led defense. I never thought in a million years that they would struggle against those guys. And it really does come down to, I think Jonathan Gannon and the Cardinals head coaches had a better game plan for the Cowboys than the Cowboys did for the Cardinals. Part of that is because new people are in and they're having to put people in there with the injuries the Cowboys are. And I think another part of that is a lot of teams just don't know what the Cardinals have on offense right now. So it's harder to game plan for them because you don't have a lot of Josh Dobbs working with Rondale Moore and Marquise Brown on film. So what does that look like? You've seen them as receivers before, but never in this offense, never with that guy throwing the ball to them. You haven't seen this offense the way it runs James Conner, even though you've seen James Conner run before. So I think that's a part of it too, where it's just, they got caught in a gotcha game, and they got. So it was not good.
We're talking to Josh Beard. He's a radio host on KFNC Houston. The one thing about the Cowboys is I think about them going forward that surprised me a little bit is when you think about that defense, it is constructed with a ton of speed. And you've got defensive linemen who love to rush the passer. And then linebackers who are sometimes hybrid safeties who are somewhat undersized. I mean, even Damon Clark, who is a pure linebacker, mm-hmm. is an undersized linebacker. And then they love to bring up Bell or some other safety to play sort of a third linebacker role sometimes. And it made me wonder with these undersized speed guys whether they're going to be able to go head-to-head in a big physical running attack like the Cardinals threw at them the other day. Now, I know they drafted Mazi Smith in the first round to try to plug that hole, but he's just a rookie. He's mm-hmm. 3 games into his career. Do the Cowboys have a long-term concern here, or at least a season-long concern about stopping the run?
I don't think so, because I think the way Dan Quinn uses that speed and the way he formulates that defense typically tends to, it's a bend but don't break to the run game
yep.
type of defense, but usually it works out. I just think that the Arizona Cardinals offensive line just looked really, really good
yep,
in this game. And they did a good job of taking advantage of a defense that was still trying to figure out what to do without Trayvon Diggs. Because Trayvon Diggs, they drop him down. He's in coverage a lot, but they drop him down and have him help with the run, with the run game a lot. And when you don't have somebody, when you don't have a corner that's really good at playing the run game, it makes everything a little bit more difficult, because then those linebackers get used to having that help off the edge. And if they don't help, if they don't have that help, it makes it more difficult. I think the linebackers just kind of struggled in this game too. If you're looking at even Micah Parsons, he had some good moments, but he was struggling to locate the ball. He was struggling in a lot of pursuit angles. Leighton Vander Esch was struggling in those, in that area too. So I really think it just came down to execution for both of these teams, where the Cowboys had a good game plan and just didn't execute it. You'd see them take the right angles, but then they would just get caught up on blocks and couldn't get out of them. And that is a concern when you are a speed focus, when you don't have a lot of the big guys. They just didn't utilize that speed the right way. I don't think there's a long-term concern. There's just some adjustments that need to be made that say, okay, now we see what a ground-and-pound team can do to us whenever they're meant to push people around. We just have to change that up a little bit, get them to miss, use that speed against them, and really just start to swarm. That's what the Cowboys didn't do. And if you're a speed-focused defense, you have to swarm on the run game. You have to get four or five different Cowboys helmets around that runner, so if a couple of blocks get off, it doesn't matter. There's more guys there to make the tackle. So that's how I see them kind of making those adjustments in the long term.
Fair enough. And they did – you're right. It didn't seem that they had a whole bunch of swarm tackling as they had in previous games. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've only got Josh for a few more minutes, and I know you want to talk to him about prime time in Colorado.
Okay, Josh, I have to know. So Dan Lanning has told everybody the Cinderella story is over. Oregon head coach took it to the Buffaloes. What is the story over for Deion?
No, I don't think so. The if anybody ever looked at Coach Prime and they looked at Deion Sanders with this Colorado team and they thought that this was just a short-term gimmick where it was just going to be until they finally got beat, then they just don't know Deion Sanders the person or Coach Prime the coach. The Cinderella story is not over. I picked Oregon to win this game. I felt like this was going to be one of the easier blowout calls because you have a very talented Oregon team with Bo Nix, who's in his fifth season
as
a college quarterback.
Started at Auburn, remember?
I thought it was his 27th season.
Yeah,
feels like I've been hearing his name forever.
Yeah, I feel like he's been playing college football as long as it has been since his dad played quarterback at Auburn. But he's been playing for a really long time. He's been great at Oregon, and this Oregon team is very good. And look, I understand going to your team and saying we're not about the flash, they're about the clicks, we're about the wins. That's a great way to rally your team around that. But Coach Prime is in the long game, and he's playing the long game. And this Colorado, Coach Prime in Colorado was never about what they can accomplish this year. It's what does it look like next year after he gets a recruiting class, after he's on TV and he has celebrities showing up to his games, and afterwards he's telling people, look, you can say anything you want about me. Go ahead. Get it in now because I'm going to continue building this program. There's already rumors that Shedeur Sanders has no plans on going to the NFL draft this year, that he might come back for another year to play and see what he can do with his dad, which I wouldn't be surprised by at all, even though he has played at a level where he could be a higher draft pick than maybe previously thought. Coach Prime is playing the long game. I would love to see him stay at Colorado as long as possible until he turns them into a powerhouse, and he absolutely could, given enough time. And anybody who thinks that this is just a flash in the pan gimmick is just wrong. That's not who Deion Sanders is. That's not who he's ever been around the NFL game. He is somebody who likes to do things at a high level. He doesn't like to lose, and he likes to be the best that does it. So I'm really excited to see what he does with this school moving forward. Gets a couple of recruiting classes in there, gets some more talent in there, both on on his offensive line and on the defensive side of the ball. And they could be a really, really dangerous team in a couple of years if he continues to play these cards. And if everybody keeps going after Coach Prime and not after the recruits while he is on TV and in commercial going after these high-level recruits.
NIL is alive and well.
They're going to be really sad. Look, if you can make a little bit of extra money and have Coach Prime be your head coach while meeting Dwayne The Rock Johnson on the sideline, which would you choose, Nick Saban or that?
He's Josh Beard. You can hear him on KFNC Houston. Josh, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
We'll be right back. Sports Map Radio.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios,
here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Wow, that was great to have Josh Beard in studio with us and talk a little bit about C.J. Stroud and his development at this point. He seems to be well ahead of the other rookie quarterbacks. Of course, Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young did not play yesterday, so by default, C.J. Stroud performed better than they. Great for the Texans. And then he addressed, of course, the demise of the Cowboys yesterday against the Cardinals. But let's go to two other games. First, maybe we'll start with the Chargers and the Vikings, because what a fascinating game it came down the stretch here. I mean, the Vikings have lost three games now. They're 0-3, all by the narrowest of margins. Each of those three they could have won, and they arguably should have won yesterday.
Yeah, that's another sad situation for Minnesota. They just are falling on the wrong side of it. And last year they were winning these close games.
Yes, the NFL is so, there's so much parity that it sort of comes down to often a few plays or key mistakes at one point. But for the Vikings, to me, the thing that was really a struggle to watch was their clock management down the stretch. I don't know why, when they had a fourth down play that they converted, Kirk Cousins didn't run up and spike the ball. Instead, they tried to line up for a shot at the end zone. And in lining up, they lost a ton of time. And it sort of left them with only two plays left. And obviously, we know how it turned out. The next play they ran was an interception. But he could have gone up and spiked the ball and allowed himself four shots at the end zone. And the probabilities of winning then were actually pretty good. I don't understand that clock management. I don't understand it from a veteran quarterback like Kirk Cousins.
Well, I know, and I feel like ball safety, taking care of the ball, has been an Achilles heel for the Vikings. I mean, they have lost seven fumbles.
Yeah, in three games, seven fumbles.
Three games.
Can't do that.
So I think there's a lot going on with Minnesota that is messy.
But the only reason, I guess we should preamble that, the only reason the Vikings had a chance late there.
Thank you, Brandon Staley.
Was because Brandon Staley, head coach of the Chargers, chose to go for it on fourth down at his own end of the field with a four-point lead.
On the 29-yard line.
With a four-point lead, just punt the ball away and trust your defense, right? What was he thinking? What's the backstory there? Or is he just somebody who doesn't know how to manage the game?
I think he does not know how to manage the game. He says, and it's true, analytically, the percentages said that's what I should have done. But guess what? Analytics are just part of the story. I mean, it's like being a scout. You can do all sabermetrics. Mm. You can do all eye test. But together is when you're going to get your most accurate thing. Come on, Brandon Staley. You've done this long enough. Yes, the analytics may have said that. But look at your field position. Look at the time on the clock. Look who you have in Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen. Come on. That was a bonehead move. And this is just another one of these decisions by Brandon Staley. I mean, the Chargers ended up, I can't even say they won it. Kirk Cousins gave it to him with that interception in the waning seconds. That was it. The Chargers were about to lose this because of what Brandon Staley did. And he cannot get out of his own way. He cannot get out of the Chargers' way. The Chargers have a talented roster of players. Even with losing Mike Williams, they've lost him now with an ACL for the season. They have got weapons. But Brandon Staley continues, and I have seen, because they're in the same conference with my Raiders, I have seen this same scenario play out over and over again, and Brandon Staley doesn't learn from it. I mean, hey, it's one thing you make a mistake, you followed your analytics, but you didn't look at the situational football that was around it. He continually does this. I'm tired of him, and I think he's really going to mess with the success of Justin Herbert and the whole Chargers franchise, honestly.
Fascinating to watch. I will say that it would be tragic, because Justin Herbert, to me, is just such an exceptional talent. He reminds me of John Elway, and that's a high comparison, and I mean it wholeheartedly. And yes, Brandon Staley's coaching decisions have really been problematic. One thing that ran through my head, though, as you were talking about it, is if they were to fire Brandon Staley, there have been whispers that the next coach of the Chargers, well, they would elevate their offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, which I don't think would be a good decision. I don't think Kellen Moore is ready to be a head coach. I think he's a fine offensive coordinator, but he's not ready for a head coach role. And so hopefully they'll bring in somebody else if and when Brandon Staley departs.
Do you think Brandon Staley should still have a job?
No. So I really would love for Justin Herbert to have a coach who really can take them to the heights that Justin Herbert is entitled to reach. Justin Herbert can be and should be ultimately a Super Bowl quarterback, and Brandon Staley's not going to be a Super Bowl coach.
No, and he's got the talent, really. That roster can go to that level.
Yeah.
But, you know, you saw when Las Vegas had that terrible year, firing John Gruden, Henry Ruggs with the murder charge, all and who's coaching at the end of the season? Rick Bisaccia, yep. Special teams coach, and they won that overtime game against the Chargers because and went to the playoffs to play Pittsburgh because of another decision similar to last night's that Brandon Staley did.
Yeah.
And it's like this just continues to happen. I think it's tough too. I'm going to give a little love to these LA teams. I don't think they've got a real fan base. I mean, I don't think there's a real Chargers group. Even the Rams, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's been so much moving around, and even the Rams won a Super Bowl. I think it's hard. Remember when they were playing in that soccer stadium? The opponents had many more fans than the Chargers. So that's tough. But all the more reason, if I'm in the Chargers ownership group or front office, give reason on the field to have more fans behind us. I mean, this is really frustrating.
Yeah, winning would cure a lot of things.
It would cure a lot of things.
And they've got their quarterback. But before we leave this game, I want to jump back to the Vikings for a minute. One thing that's now being widely discussed is the possibility of the Vikings trading Kirk Cousins to the Jets. Jets obviously in need of a quarterback. I saw a specific proposal out there. It might have been from Albert Breer that would send Zach Wilson and 2 third-round draft picks to the Vikings in return for Kirk Cousins. Now, Cousins will be a free agent at the end of this year.
And the Vikings did not pick up any.
No, so the Vikings are not likely to have Kirk Cousins after this season. The Jets wouldn't have him next year, but presumably they don't need him. Aaron Rodgers is supposed to return. So they need a rental quarterback, and Kirk Cousins could be that guy. Do you really see this coming together? Is this just the fodder of those of us who talk sports all day?
Well, I think if you listen to Robert Saleh and you believe what he's saying, Zach is our best option right now. That to me is cryptic. That's saying I'm trying to shut out the noise, but the right now means I don't believe in him either. And let me give you a number that
he would have no credibility if he said, oh, Zach Wilson, totally. I'm all in. I know I've got my answer. Yep. He can't say that.
No, he can't. And here's the reason why. 17.9. Do you know what that is?
I do not.
That is Zach Wilson's QBR.
Ouch.
17.
It's too low. That's why I could never guess it was a QBR. That is miserable.
Oh, my gosh. So, they need a Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is great. And I don't think they're going to miss him in Minnesota, it doesn't seem like. So, I don't know if that would really come to fruition, and I don't know if the Jets would feel they can give up. I don't know if they're considering this a lost season or not, but they have the offensive rookie of the year in Garrett Wilson. They have the defensive rookie of the year in Sauce Gardner. They have got pieces. They've got a great – their O-line struggles, for sure. But Kirk Cousins is a veteran, and I think it's a great move. I don't know if it's going to happen, but 17.9 scares the death out of me. I don't know if you saw the video of the fan who lost his teeth. His tooth yesterday fell out while he was screaming obscenities at Zach Wilson. The team isn't behind Zach. The fans aren't behind Zach. There's nothing good that's going to happen with Zach Wilson.
Well, he needs a fresh start. Maybe going to Minnesota would be that answer. He could go there. Kirk Cousins could lift the Jets. The interesting thing, the Jets are probably on track with Zach Wilson. I bet they'll win maybe 4 games. If they were to bring in Kirk Cousins, they might get 9 games, and that might put them in the playoffs. I mean, the problem is the season's ticking away. I mean, here they sit, right? And they can bring him in, and so they're 1-2. And yes, Kirk Cousins could be a part of making the Jets a playoff team this year.
Well, and you know, the 17.9 QBR, it's not like it was against Kansas City.
Yeah.
It was against New England, who is an up-and-coming, but they are – it's not a straight line. I mean, they're up and down and all over the place and trying to figure themselves out as well.
But the Pats defense is stout. That's the strength of that team.
Yes, it is. It is. But, man, 18 of 36, 157 total yards for Zach Wilson.
Mm. All right, let's go to the Sunday night football game. It was the Steelers over the Raiders.
More good news.
I know you watched it intensely.
Gosh.
First, begin with, what did you see with the Raiders I mean, they had their chances. They were right into this game.
I saw defense has to be fixed and Josh McDaniels has to go. There's my sum.
Well, unfortunately, we're at a place where we have to go for a break. I'm going to tee up the fact that next segment, we're going to have Travis Rogers join us. He does pre and post game for the Rams. It'll be great to hear from him about all things Rams and their big game tonight. That up next, Travis Rogers here on Sports Map Radio.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios,
here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is an old friend, Travis Rogers.
Young old friend.
Yes, he's the best. Travis is, he does pre and post game for the Rams football for KSP in Los Angeles. And he also hosts a show, Travis Rogers Now, that you can hear on KSPN 10 a.m. Pacific. And Travis used to be with us here at Sports Map Radio. Travis, welcome back. You're on with David and Carla.
I look forward to it each and every day. I know there's something L.A. in the air when I get to come home with you guys.
Okay, I love it. You've come back to the dark side. We're glad to have you.
Nice to be back.
Well, you are in the epicenter of Monday Night Football tonight. Of course, you'll be doing pre and post for the Rams. They face the Bengals here in the second game of a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. Of course, this is a rematch of Super Bowl 56, and it's fun to think about Sean McVay 2 years ago, an ascending star in the coaching ranks, and then here we sit 2 years later. He's got Matt Stafford as his quarterback. Tell us about Sean McVay and his evolution and how you think he fares as a coach today.
Yeah, I think that the Rams probably made the best hire in the history of their organization when they hired him. Believe it or not, this is his seventh year as the head
Good
coach of this team,
gosh.
And he's still the youngest head coach in the league. 7 years in, still the youngest head coach in the league. That's how far ahead of the curve he was when they hired him a few years ago. He's been terrific, and this most recent season, the 2022 season, was really the first time they've had a bad year under him. They missed the playoffs 1 year previously, but they went 9-7 in that season. They were in it until the very last week of the season. That last year was the first time it just didn't work. They only won 5 games. They weren't competitive in the 12 that they lost. It was just a really ugly season. And so far this season, I think, you know, one of the last things he had left to prove was, can you bounce back from a bad season? Can you start over when you're trying to rebuild your roster? Can you find a way to remotivate all the guys that have gone through a difficult season? And so far, so good. They're only 1-1, but this was a team coming into the season that felt like might be a 4 or 5 win team. I think Vegas had the win total at 6. But seeing what they put on the field the first couple of weeks, this feels like a team that is a lot better than that. And if they can take their business tonight, Monday Night Football, I think they're off and running. I think they got a really good chance to make the playoffs. And it's mostly because of Sean McVay. We've seen players come and go. Toss, I'm a huge fan of his.
Okay, I love hearing that. Because what it seems to me, he seems, and I think this has to do with his youth, he seems incredibly adaptable to whatever is given. And it seems like you can never count him out, because no matter what, you're right. 2 seasons ago was a disaster, or last season, whatever it was, and he's bounced back beautifully. And you've got now a healthy Stafford, a healthy Aaron Donald, and now you've got the emergence of rookie wide receiver Puka Nacua. Talk about that wonderful surprise. I mean, they're off to a solid start, and this is without Cooper Kupp.
You're right, because when Kupp went down before the season started, and they had to put him on the IR, meaning he was going to miss at least the first 4 games of the season, Rams fans were looking at each other like, okay, really? We're really going to do this? Like, this is, we know it's going to be tough. They haven't gotten a ton of production from anybody other than Puka Nacua. Tutu Atwell a little bit along the way. But what we've seen from Nacua through the first 2 weeks is extraordinary. He's very similar to what Kupp has been able to do. So putting those two guys together, I think they're going to be incredibly hard to defend. Like you mentioned, Matthew Stafford has gotten off to a really good start. Mm-hmm. It gives him an additional target. If they can get Kupp back and he's healthy and he looks like himself, they're a dangerous offensive team.
And it seems like with Puka, he's fast, but he's not extraordinarily fast. But what I see with him in his route running, he has got incredible football and field intelligence. Like, he seems very smart for his, you know, his rookie. He's a rookie. He's in a new system and all this. And he really, like, I'm just impressed with how he comports himself around the field. It's really impressive.
Well, you're spot on. So last week after the game against San Francisco, they were asking Sean McVay, like, how has this guy been able to do only two games into his NFL career? And he said basically what you just said, which is he gets to understand football. He knows where to be. It's not just that he's studied the football. He just works. Where the open space is, where the soft spot is, when to go, when not to go, when to push, when to pull back. He just instinctively, to a very high degree, that's allowed him to be so far ahead of the curve. He's really special. The Rams may have gotten a real steal. He's a fifth-round draft pick. So not only did everybody else pass on him five times, the Rams passed on him three times along the way, and they might have gotten the steal of the draft in this guy. He looks that good.
No kidding.
We're talking to Travis Rogers. He hosts pre- and post-game for Rams football on KSPN in Los Angeles. So I want to ask you, how long can Aaron Donald play at such a high level of football? He's not a young guy anymore.
No, David, you're asking the right question. I'm getting ready to go and do my pregame show here in a little bit, and it's one of the things at the top of my list. Aaron Donald has not looked like Aaron Donald through the first 2 weeks. He hasn't. And to your point, this is his 10th year in the league. Last year was the first time he'd ever missed any time in his career with injury. And he's looked okay, but he has not looked like Aaron Donald. He did not record a single tackle. He did not have a single pressure. He did not have a single anything. He didn't show up on the stat sheet last week against the 49ers. Now, they're a little bit like his kryptonite. He struggles with the 49ers. He has it throughout most of his career. But he didn't do a whole bunch against the Seattle Seahawks in week one either. The offensive line for the Bengals, especially in the middle of that offensive line, is not great. So it's an opportunity for him to kind of look like himself. But I'm with you. I would like to see him look like himself tonight, because if it doesn't happen tonight, I think you're going to start to hear the question that you just asked more frequently and louder in other places.
I'll tell you, Geno Smith would disagree. Oh my God, was my favorite soundbite. And I thought that was so refreshing, because it was like, that is real. I would feel the same way. Oh, that was too good. Okay,
yeah,
so
I said, Jared, that when I want to meet the person that doesn't say, oh my God, when Aaron Donald's running right at him. Like, that's the most human thing I've ever heard in my life.
It really was. That made me love Geno Smith even more. I thought that was just, and I think it gave everybody, you know, us who are not on the gridiron doing its thing, it really gave you a sense of, oh wow, he's got like a semi coming at him. Like, and he's a very seasoned veteran. He's played a lot. He has a lot of success in Seattle. And that still was an, oh my God, at the top of my lungs moment. I totally loved that.
If running again, that's exactly the reaction I'd like to see from everybody. But hopefully Joe Burrow, or if Joe Burrow doesn't play, if it's Jake Browning or anybody else, hopefully a lot of oh my gods coming from the Cincinnati quarterback tonight.
I think that is going to happen, Travis. Let me ask you this. I know it's going to be a game time decision for Joe Burrow. So Joe Burrow's situation with the calf injury that happened right at the beginning of training camp, and he's been resting it. He re-aggravated it, you know, last week. I don't see, I mean, I would assume Zach Taylor's probably, I know he wants to, Joe Burrow wants to go, and ultimately it's going to be the team's decision, but it seems like if it is not 100%, which I don't see how it could be, how can being in the throes of a game, in the throes of a season, how do you think that's going to get your injury, improve your injury? How are you going to get better? Would you, if you're Zach Taylor, do you sit him out? What do you do with this?
So it's a really interesting question. It's a question that I've asked of some of the guys that I've worked with over the last few years that have played in the NFL. And the way that you and I look at it is we look at it like normal football. Like, you know, let's let this heal. Let's be able to get back at our best. Football players look at it so different. Like, if I can walk, I'm going to play. That whatever you've got in that little black bag that you can shoot me up with, give it to me. I need that. I only have 17 of these a year. As long as I can walk and at least give it a shot, I need to give it a shot. I'd be really surprised if he doesn't at least start the game tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll struggle. Maybe he won't be able to perform at a reasonable level, and they'll have to make a change. But I think if they were going to rule him out, they probably would have by now. You know, never say never, obviously. But I expect him to play, and if he goes out there, I expect him to be at least something like Joe Burrow, but with you, if they, you know, if this were baseball and you got 162 games and you can take a couple of weeks to get right, it's not a big deal. But in the NFL, you only get 17 of these. They've already lost the first two. They really can't afford to lose another one. So I would expect to see him out there and probably with a few Tylenol taped to his leg along the way, or maybe something a little stronger, because they're going to need him. Without him, the Rams are going to have a really good chance to win a game on the road on Monday night.
Yeah, no kidding.
We're talking to Travis Rogers. You can hear him each weekday on KSPN at 10 a.m. Pacific. All right, Travis, we've got about a minute to go. We're heading into October. How do you feel about your Dodgers?
You know, it's funny. I feel good about them because I felt so good about them every other year, where everything is kind of lined up right, where they got great pitching, they got great offense, they've had all this momentum and all these things. This year, the result of 100 games, but their pitching is a hot mess. Nobody knows who's going to throw from day to day. You got nobody in the bullpen that's really super reliable outside of one or two guys. And I'm hoping the baseball gods finally smile on them in the year that they're not supposed to. I'm cautiously optimistic, but they got a whole bunch of problems in their pitching staff.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sort of reverse logic.
I get that, though. That's how I roll.
Travis, great to have you. I know you've got a job to go do over with Rams football. Thanks so much for joining us here.
You got it, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Travis.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.